Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the Cattlemen's Congress Conversation. A chance to catch up on the nation's best beef cattle show, put on by cattlemen for cattlemen. Now here's your host, Mr. Ron Hayes.
Well, thank you, Kirby, and welcome to another Cattlemen's Congress Conversation. Today, we're putting the spotlight on the Angus breed, one of the big players in Cattlemen's Congress each year, been a big supporter since day one. We've got their Chief Executive Officer, Mark McCulley, joining us today, and also the current president of the American Angus Association, cattle producer Dr. Barry Pollard of Enid, Oklahoma. Part one of this podcast, our conversation with Mark McCulley, CEO of the Angus Association. 2024 Cattlemen's Congress is here, and we've got the Angus folks in town. Mark McCulley, of course, with the American Angus Association with us. And Mark, you know, this is our fourth Cattlemen's Congress. Things are really starting to get, people are starting to get into a little more of a routine, I guess you might say.
Yeah, very much. It doesn't feel like a new event, right? It's an established event, and it's really a world-class one. We've got exhibitors from all over the country. I actually talked to some Angus breeders from Scotland last night that were in from for the bases loaded sale and taking in the Cattlemen's Congress. And so it's, we're 4 years in, and it's really, really matured into a fantastic event.
What's the Angus lineup should look like this year?
Yeah, we've got a lot of commerce going on, a number of different sales that take place. We started out at Heritage Place with the Bases Loaded sale. It was the 25th anniversary of that sale, and it was a record breaker. It was. Wow. It averaged over $35,000 a lot. It was really, really some outstanding genetics from breeders across the country. And then we lead into, there's another sale getting ready to go on here. A couple sales today. We'll have a couple more sales. We have our National Angus Bull Sale, which is the one sale a year that the association sponsors. We've got Angus Bulls from breeders from across the country again consigned, and I know that'll be another really, really good one. Of course, the shows, open shows, junior shows, the pens and carloads, and so it's a lot of Angus activities going on.
Well, the interesting thing about these sales these days, more and more we're starting to see not just live animals, but genetics as well.
Yeah, very much so. It's a lot of embryos, a lot of pregnancies, a lot of right to flush a particular donor cow. Even semen is becoming more of a we've got a young sire or a little bit of a rare situation around some genetics. A package of maybe semen will be put together that would be auctioned off as well. So it's not just live cattle. We've got, of course, live cattle to sell, but genetics in lots of different forms.
As far as the Angus breeders across the country, what's attractive to them about Cattlemen's Congress?
You know, I think it's just an event that fairly centrally located, right? So folks from all over the country can come. You know, Oklahoma City is just such a great city that it's easy to get around. This is a very, very exhibitor friendly show. Parking, this is the only thing going on here is the Cattlemen's Congress. It's exclusive to this event, right? So you don't have to fight a lot of traffic. Parking is easy. It was really built for exhibitors, and folks really like that. It's just got a nice laid-back feel to it, and yet in a world-class competition.
Angus, as you get into 2024, what's the state of the breed?
You know, we continue to be very optimistic. This herd rebuilding is going a little slower probably than what we would have predicted a couple years ago. Obviously, Mother Nature just hasn't cooperated to provide grass where we need to grow. But, very, very optimistic. I think the profitability scenario for commercial producers continues to be strong. They're going to be in the driver's seat for a while, and that always bodes well for the ability to invest in genetics. Angus genetics continue to fit that job description for Cavanese and all of the as they start rebuilding and keeping more heifers back. So Angus are very popular in that regard. And yet we've got breeders and genetics that can build those great replacement heifers and yet also have those genetics that can go on and produce those high value feeder cattle that grow, bring in big weaning weights and high valued carcasses.
And of course, the big prize, the gold ring, if you want to call it that, is the ability to qualify for CAB.
Yeah, we continue to see incredibly strong growth in the premium side of our beef market. And, you know, at one point we used to think of premium as, you know, maybe 2 to 3, 4% of our cattle. Certified Angus beef now is, you know, we're upwards more of around 25% of the total cattle today that are qualifying for that program. So it's a significant force in the marketplace. And we continue to see the premiums on that product grow over choice. And, of course, choice over select. Prime is even on top of certified Angus beef. And so the market signal continues to be awfully, awfully strong for cattle that can grade, which, again, typically drives the value of marbling specifically.
We mentioned the fact that we've got a lot of high-quality cattle. You mentioned that. And a lot of that has to go back to the technology that we've got available to our breeders and to the commercial man as well, the genomics and more.
You know, I always talk about the toolbox, and I always say that's one of the values or the jobs of us as an association is provide tools. And I think breeders and commercial cattlemen have never had more tools at their disposal to select with more accuracy and more predictability, if that's for whatever trait they want to improve upon. Again, if that's, calving ease, whether that's growth rates, whether that's maternal function, whether that's growth and carcass merit, you know, all of those things, there's just more technology and more proven science. We've got more data than we've ever had to make those better, more accurate predictions, and we're excited to just continue to see that grow.
One thing that I know that was discussed in Orlando at your annual meeting and has been talked about for a while now is the how do you get your arms around gene editing?
Yeah, you know, that's one of those topics. I call them a disruptive technologies, right? We always want to stay innovative. We want to stay on the cutting edge as an association because that's what our breeders, that's what Angus breeders have always done. Whether that was artificial insemination back in the 50s and 60s, embryo transplant, gene editing is a new one, right? And it's one of those that candidly we're still wrestling with a little bit. We're trying to figure out what benefits it brings, right, to breeding cattle. And then also, like all of these technologies, are there downsides, right? What are the downsides or unintended consequences when you adopt a new technology? So gene editing is one of those I would throw into that mix of potentially disruptive technologies. We don't want to be blind to what some of these things can do. If we could be more precise in how we breed cattle, and especially when you start talking about things like disease resistance or environmental adaptability, you know, we know those are huge, economically important, and if we have a tools at our disposal to improve profitability and improve genetics in those areas, you know, we're gonna look at those, and we know our breeders are gonna want to consider them.
When you look at 2024 and kind of, you know, start thinking out, I know that you were doing a little bit of vision casting there at the annual meeting. You know, what does 24 look like, and even, you know, what's the 5-year plan for Angus?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to continue down, nothing too drastically different than what we've been doing today. I think as a breed, we've got, we sit here somewhere around 80% of the market share of the beef industry is Angus genetics today. And so what that tells us is we need Angus genetics to fill. I talk about the job description, right? We've got to have those really good Angus females that can go back into these commercial herds and stick around for a long time and do a really great job for our commercial producers. And then we need genetics that fit the bill for what the cattle feeder and the packer are looking for, and ultimately what the consumer is looking for. So I'd say that will be our continued charge, is making sure we've got Angus genetics that can do all of those things. We've got great diversity in the breed right now, and because of the tools and the technology and the data, we're better able to identify which genetics we plug into those different recipes better than we ever can before. And I think we'll just continue down that path. We want to make sure that we'll keep the commercial producer at the center of the target, as they always should be in the seed stock industry, making sure we keep them in business, make sure we keep them growing in profitability, keep them away from problems and out of the ditches as best we can, and do the role that Angus has done in terms of leading the industry in terms of genetic improvement for the next foreseeable future.
Right. One last question, Mark, and that kind of a bittersweet time here at Cattlemen's Congress with the untimely death of Gerald Callahan, leader, of course, for the Angus breed. Express Ranch is a very prominent seed stock operator for you folks. you know, we heard a lot at his celebration of life about the force of nature that he is, yeah. that he was, and will continue to live on through his legacy. But give me your thoughts on him as a cattle producer and how, you know, the organization like Express has helped change and shape the Angus business for the last quarter century.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to put in words, and if I'm being real honest, it's still a little surreal. I got that phone call on Christmas Eve early in the morning, and it's still, if I'm being honest, hadn't really sunk in yet. And I think, you know, we think about a guy like Gerald Callahan, you know, back in November, and it was such precious time to think about. We were able I was able to be there at the banquet when he was inducted into the Saddle Sirloin Portrait Gallery, which I think many would say is kind of the, you know, the greatest prize, the greatest recognition that someone in our industry can have, and so deserving. And I think you look at a guy like him, you know, it really comes down to vision, to perseverance. He was a great leader of being able to forecast and see a vision. I always said Gerald was 2 to 3 to 4 steps ahead of probably most people. I think he was just always thinking that far down the road, which I think led him to be a fantastic leader. It made Express what they were. I think, to me, Gerald was as multifaceted in this industry, knew as much about all parts of it as maybe anybody I knew. I mean, and had success. He was obviously on the show ring. Here we're at Cattlemen's Congress. The number of ribbons that he was a part of accumulating from Express, but then at the same time, what they did on the commercial side of things and have done. He understood the cattle feeding business. He understood the packing business, and he leaves a big void. There's no question about it. He leaves a big void. He was an influencer of young people. I think, as I've read through so many of the comments that have been made on social media and such, the number of people that would point to him as a mentor, he maybe didn't even know it. I mean, I'm sure as those that he coached, they knew it, but a lot of other folks, I think, admired him, and he mentored many from afar. And so we're going to miss him. He's going to leave a great big hole in our industry, but we're sure thankful of the leadership and all the time we did have with him and all of the great benefit that he brought to our business and us as individuals.
CEO of the American Angus Association, Mark McCulley. Continuing our conversation with the leadership of the Angus breed, we've got this year's president of the American Angus Association, Dr. Barry Pollard of Enid, Oklahoma. 2024 Cattlemen's Congress, and we're here with the president of the American Angus Association, one of our own here in the state of Oklahoma, Dr. Barry Pollard from the Wacomas Enid area. Barry, it's hard to imagine this thing is already in its fourth year.
Oh, yes, I know. It's been such a pleasure to be able to have it here in Oklahoma City. We've had great crowds every year, and it just holds, it's doing well. It really has attracted the people back, everybody back east. He's the Mississippi, plus a lot of people Midwest and Texas. And so it's doing well, and we've had some really great sales, and I haven't heard a complaint yet from anybody. We've had nice weather, mm-hmm. and it's just a great place to have a show.
Chamber of Commerce weather out there today, sunshine and really very, very mild.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And people are excited. They see the new construction of the new facility over there, and everybody's kind of wondering when that's going to be done and what's that's going to be look like and what are we going to do with the arena that's there now. And so there's a lot of excitement about what's going on here.
And, you know, the unique thing for you, you've got multiple kind of hats that you're wearing. Obviously, you're showing cattle. You've got some of your family showing cattle. You've been involved in some of the sales. And you've got your business, P&K, here as a trade show representative and sponsor.
Yeah, it's a busy week for us. We bring a lot of equipment down, tractors, lawnmowers, and things for P&K to display. And we're exporters of the event. And yes, I've got granddaughter showing 2 heifers, and we've sold some cattle here. And I failed on my challenge. My office manager asked me to at least one time come back with more with money, not spend it all. But once again, I have failed her for the 12th or 13th year in a row. There's just always some fantastic offerings from people around the country, from pregnancies to embryos to live cattle, you name it, flushing opportunities. So there's so many opportunities that are presented at these sales for you to be able to improve your herd that it just makes it a wonderful event and a showcase of some of the finest cattle in the United States.
It's amazing compared to even the years that you've been in the business. This thing has changed so much as far as sales are concerned. It used to be, you know, you'd take a live animal in, that was the only thing that was being sold. Now there's so many different options, as you mentioned.
Oh yeah, I'll tell you a funny story. It was Oklahoma State sale years ago when my father was still alive, and he got up to go out and smoke a cigarette, and I followed him out there, and he looked at me and he said, "Did I just understand that you just bought a baby calf that hadn't even been born yet?" I said, "That's right." And he said, "Boy, have you lost your mind?" But no, the technology, the DNA technology and the things that we've got and predictability of animals is so much better today. And so even though it's not perfect, we got a pretty good idea what we're going to get whenever we do some breeding.
The Congress this year, you know, it's a little bit of a bittersweet time in that we lost a good friend in Gerald Callahan, who was instrumental in getting this thing started 4 years ago. You've had a chance to work with him as a fellow producer, cattle producer. What is his expertise, his talents? What have they meant to the cattle industry, you think?
Gerald and I became great friends, and we share a lot of ownership, a lot of cattle together, and his leadership and his knowledge of the business from beginning to end was just fantastic. You know, he's been a guy that's been in the commercial end of it. He's had feedlot experience and ownership. He's follows cattle all the way through, as well as seeing in the show cattle, the arena, the show industry. Mm-hmm. Gerald had a special ability. He's a visionary. He could evaluate things in the present, and he could look forward in the future and see what things needed to change and how he needed to change what he did and what the industry needed to do to change. He made some great contributions to the Angus Association with our genetic evaluations back when he was on the board. And so his ability to evaluate the present situation and look into the future at the changes that needed to be was amazing. He was truly a visionary in this business.
And I guess a good example of that was earlier this last year, back in May, that cattlemen's conference that we had at Stillwater.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that was a great opportunity to bring a lot of good cattlemen together and share some ideas and share some knowledge and get some educational opportunity.
For the business, as far as your operation, you've really tried to come up with the best genetics, and you're right there on the cutting edge in a lot of cases. Why does that matter to the industry as a whole, right on down to that commercial guy?
Well, I think it's all about getting our commercial cattlemen the opportunity to have better cattle, put a better product out there in the grocery stores for the consumer public. So the tasteability, the marbling of the animals, and the carcass quality, that's what it's really all about, and that's what the drive is. And with the DNA analysis and all the progressive things we're doing with Angus Genetics, it gives us an opportunity day by day to think of ways to improve that ability to make a better animal and make our customers more profitable. You know, the consumer has not slowed down on their appetite for beef, and better beef is even more desirable. So, you know, as we look into the future of the genetics that's going on with increased marbling, ribeyes, tasteability, carcass weights, all the things that go into making profitable business, the genetics that we see day by day are changing all the time. You know, I'm constantly looking for that next great bull or that next great cow and trying to produce them, and we keep on top of that, and we need to do that in order to stay ahead.
I know, you know, I've been in this business for a few years, talking, doing interviews, a lot of great cattle producers and folks in the industry, and I remember some of those early conversations about worrying about that consumer that might buy a steak, pay good money, and it wasn't a good eating experience. We don't have that hardly anymore.
That's right. The predictability is so much better. And, you know, another thing happens is we go through a drought like they went through in Texas 10, 12 years ago, and then in Montana a couple of years ago, and some of the drought problems we see now. As people trade those cattle in and get rid of some of those older cattle or less quality cattle, they're fortunately buying back better cattle that have a better ability to produce that great steak and a great eating experience. And so I think we'll continue to see that happen. So even though we see these natural disasters, if you want to call them, or stresses come up in our world, it creates an opportunity for improvement.
About the Angus breed, you're president this year. What's your hopes as far as, you know, to help leave things better when you step aside?
Oh, well, there's a lot of things we do at the meetings. You know, we have committee meetings from breed improvement and selection processes to how we, you know, manage the business of the Angus Association. And the Angus Link program has made real strides in the last year. Incorporating IMI with the evaluation process has strengthened that program. And that program really, I think, will grow and grow on people and become more popular. And it gives people a better opportunity to identify the carcass quality that their feeder steer might have when they're purchasing a stock or even or a feeder, selling, buying a feeder at the stockyards. The number that gets put up on a scoreboard, people can start relying on. You know, not every black animal is Angus. Not every black animal has great carcass quality. But with the Angus Link program, we can start to identify those cattle on the hoof that have that ability to marble and do well.
Now, one breed executive, another breed, told me earlier this week here in Congress, said he's out in feedlot country and said it's a sea of black these days as far as there's a lot of black cattle.
It is. There's a sea of black. And as I said, not all black cattle are the greatest. I mean, there's all different breeds now that have adopted the black hide. And so we're trying to identify ways to separate those Angus genetics out so people know what they're buying and be more reliable on the cat selection of the cattle they're going to put in a feedlot and be able to get them to perform better. So trying to identify the good black cattle from all the rest of the cattle is really the objective of Angus Link. So we look for it to be a big part of our future.
Gary, one last question. Since we last talked, you've had a chance to go into a very distinguished Hall of Fame and I guess we kind of represent agriculture, but also the medical community as well in your induction. Reflect with me about what that means to you personally.
Well, personally, what it means is I've had the ability in my life to associate myself with some really good people of high quality. In my medical practice, I had the greatest nurse and greatest staff one could imagine, and they took care of the people properly, and we provided a service. And when I mean service, I mean from the time somebody comes in the door until they're released from your care all the way through. And I carry the same kind of process through in our business at the ranch with our cattle and with our customers, and that's to be able to provide that service. So I'm very fortunate to have been associated with a lot of people, and I've been very fortunate to have people that could take care of my business when I was off trying to do something else to better our community. And it meant a lot to me, and it meant a lot to all the people that I've worked with through the years. And, you know, P&K, we follow the same philosophy. It's all about service, and I think that's why we're successful.
I know that a lot of folks are very grateful that you chose your medical profession to stay in a smaller community like Enid.
Yeah, my agriculture roots run deep, and I was offered the opportunity to stay in large communities and practice medicine in large groups and share a call. And my roots to agriculture were deep. I wanted to go back to a community where I grew up in. I wanted to be associated with farming and ranching, and I really feel like they're the greatest people in the world in that business, and I was able to take care of those people, and that was pleasurable for me.
Gary, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Ron. Appreciate it.
Current president of the American Angus Association, Dr. Barry Pollard. Both Dr. Pollard as well as Mark McCulley offering some great insights into the Angus business, as well as a tribute to our friend, the late Gerald Callahan, who's had so much impact on Cattlemen's Congress. That's all of our time for Cattlemen's Congress Conversation this go-round. We'll be back soon with another edition. We'll see you down the road.